Romans 8. I was thinking this morning about the church, about believers, and I was thinking in the church there are two main underlying problems, I think. The first is, over the years we have allowed, I'm talking about the church in general, not Lakeview Baptist Church, but in general, we have allowed many non-believers who think they are believers into the church. And it's very, well, it's impossible to get goats to act like sheep. Say amen. And we try to address that problem. But I think there's another problem, maybe a greater problem. And the second problem is, we have Christians, those who are called Christians, who live their lives far below the privileges they have in Christ. So on one hand, you have folks that aren't Christians who think they're Christians. On the other hand, you have Christians who are living far below what they truly have in Christ. The Puritans said Christians live far below their privilege. And it is true that while Christians have been given all the gifts of Christ through their faith, they often live and often fail to completely live in that spiritual richness. So many Christians are basically spiritually rich and have all these checks deposited into their account, but they never go and cash them in. And they never go cash in all the amazing things that God has done for us. And when you trust by faith in Jesus, everything that Jesus gets, everything that Jesus has access to, and everything that's true of Christ becomes true of us. And so in Romans, for seven chapters, Paul has indicted all of humanity as guilty. All Gentiles, all Jews, every single person has been indicted as guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And he has also declared that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way out. The only hope that we have is in Christ. It is a message of what Christ has done for sinners so that sinners can be forgiven and reconciled to God. And so in chapter number 8, Paul begins to pile up these privileges one on top of another so that we can actually see and understand what we actually have in Christ so that we may live up to those privileges. Maybe we don't because we simply don't understand all the privileges we have in Christ. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if we are truly in Christ, we are spiritually rich beyond measure. And yet, we live as spiritual paupers. How many know? We've got a younger crowd. How many know who Howard Hughes was? About the same number, they're glad they're here. All right. Looks like those are the only people I'm going to get to answer. Howard Hughes was known during his lifetime as one of the most financially successful individuals in the world. He first made a name for himself as a film producer, and then he became an influential figure in aviation. The last 20 years of his life, he lived in various hotels he owned in Las Vegas and in the Bahamas, and he rarely ever came out of the room that he was in, and his hair was constantly dirty, his teeth were rotten out, he became addicted to drugs, and he had an obsession with germs. And when he died on August 5th, 1976, he weighed only 92 pounds. He left an estate of $2.5 billion, with a B, dollars. And that $2.5 billion was in 1976 and is equal to $6.3 billion in today's money. Here's a man that has $2.5 billion living as a pauper. And what Howard Hughes did physically, we Christians often do spiritually, living far below our privileges in Christ. And so I want to show you the privileges of the Christian life from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, which is considered by many the greatest chapter in the Bible. It is a chapter that is high gospel and it is all gospel. Now I know what you're thinking. All of the Bible is inspired. And yes, all of the Bible is inspired, but not all of the Bible is equally inspiring. If you don't believe me, read some of those genealogies and see how inspiring that becomes. This chapter, chapter 8 of the book of Romans, is inspired and it is inspiring. So let me give you four things this morning about the privilege of no condemnation. Let's read it together. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And everyone in here that is in Christ Jesus ought to stop there and say, amen. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that is a high, awesome, wonderful privilege. That we are in Christ, and yet today there is no condemnation upon us. Let me give you four things. Number one, the present reality of no condemnation. The present reality of no condemnation. Now I want you to see what Paul says, because the reality is, here's the reality, Paul says there is. You see that? This is not a matter of contention. This is not a matter of argument. It's not a matter of confusion. It's not a matter for us to compromise over. It is a reality for us as believers to consider. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation. He's not talking about realms of possibility. He's talking about reality. There is. The reality is grounded in all that Paul has said in the previous seven chapters about man's sinfulness and man's only hope of escaping the wrath of God in the work of Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul is going to talk about as the privileges of those who trust in Jesus Christ is a present reality. It is a reality there is, but he says there is what? Now. So the reality of what we have in Christ, the reality of this privilege of no condemnation, is something that we are to grasp. It's something that we are to enjoy now. Say now. We're in the now. Say amen. It is true, is it not, that we view our salvation as primarily something that's going to happen in the future? Well, Christ is coming back and He's going to receive us to Himself and then we're going to be saved. But Paul says that what we gain in the work of Christ is something for us to enjoy in the now, in the temporal, present day reality. I don't want to have to wait to receive the entirety of my inheritance because I can enjoy Christ today. Say amen. Some of you are looking at me this morning as if you've been sucking on lemons. Christians are to enjoy the fact and the reality of no condemnation today. It is true that when we stand before God in judgment, there will be no condemnation to those that are in Christ, but it is equally true that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ right now because of what Christ has accomplished for His people on the cross of Calvary. It becomes a present reality in this life, the life of one who has turned to Christ in repentance and faith. So it is a blessed thing that Jesus is coming back, right? I can't wait for that. I love to sing the song when he takes our hand and takes us throughout heaven. Amen? What a day that will be. And that will be a wonderful day. But let me tell you something, Christian. Today is a wonderful day. Because me as a believer in Christ and you as a believer in Christ have no condemnation upon us. It is a glorious day today. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. And so these privileges are to be enjoyed and experienced now. What Christ has done for us and what His work has provided for us is something that we can live and enjoy in here on this earth. Say amen. It is a present reality. There is therefore now no condemnation. Secondly, not only is it a present reality that we should joy in and rejoice in, but it is a pardoning reality. Now, the initial privilege that we are given here by Paul that we are to bask in is the privilege of no condemnation. And what a reality this truly is. Now, let's get this right. Are you listening this morning? Wake up. I want you to get this. I want to begin by looking at what Paul did not say. Because sometimes we read into Paul what Paul didn't say. Paul said, right, there is therefore now no condemnation. Paul did not say that there would be no afflictions or sufferings. He did not say that. Say amen. He did not say we would not have to go through trials. He did not say we would not have to go through troubles. He did not say we would not get ill and get sick and have all kinds of pains. He didn't say that. Say amen. Are you listening? He did not say we would not have any temptations. He didn't say we wouldn't have any fears. And he did not say there would be no doubts. And listen, he did not say there would be no sins. You with me? There will be sufferings, there will be temptations, there will be fears and doubts, and there will be sins. What Paul says is now there will be no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ does not isolate us from those other things, but it does isolate us from the condemnation of God. And when we try to drag those other things in, well, if I'm a Christian, there ought not be any sufferings. If I'm a Christian, there ought not be any trials. If I'm a Christian, I should not doubt. If I'm a Christian, I should not fear. If I'm a Christian, I should never sin. When we drag those things into what Paul's saying here, we're wrong. Paul said what? There is thou now, therefore, no what? Condemnation. Let me tell you what else he does not say. Paul does not say that people will not condemn you. Because people will. Your family will. He does not say that Satan will not condemn you. He doesn't even say that your own consciences won't condemn you. You know why he doesn't say that? Because people will condemn you. Satan will accuse you and condemn you. And you may even condemn yourself. Have you ever done it? How can I act like that? How can I think like that and be a Christian? How can I do the things I do and still be a Christian? I'm condemning myself. Paul didn't say there would be no self-condemnation. There would be no satanic condemnation. There would be no worldly condemnation. But he does say, to them that are in Christ, God will not condemn you. Even though our thoughts are imperfect, even though our service is faulty, even though our lives are still offensive, God will not condemn those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is caused by what? Sin. We all have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have in our sins stirred the anger and the wrath of God. Every person is under condemnation of God because we are all what? Sinners. If condemnation is the consequence of sin, we're all condemned because we're all sinners. Even the smallest sin puts you under the condemnation of God. Say amen. What is condemnation? It is the judgment and it is the punishment of God. It is the wrath of God. And you understand that God will punish sinners for eternity. Say amen. What is the punishment that God will bring upon sinners? It is the loss of the kingdom. The loss of the kingdom. It is the loss of perfect comfort, perfect peace, perfect happiness, and perfect fellowship. That's what the kingdom's about. And instead of receiving perfect comfort and perfect peace and perfect happiness and perfect fellowship with God, those that are sinners and die in their sins will receive absolutely no comfort, absolutely no peace, no happiness, no fellowship, and everlasting torment in the flames of the lake of fire. Someone said this. Someone said, we really don't appreciate the idea of no condemnation here because none of us have really sat on death row awaiting execution. He said, if we had been on death row awaiting execution and got the word of no condemnation, we'd really be excited instead of sitting here asleep. Say amen. Imagine that you have been judged and sentenced to death for a crime. You're waiting for your day of execution. All your appeals have been turned down. And you're waiting in your jail cell, waiting for the day of execution. And one day the cell doors open and you're told you're free to go. And you ask, free to go? Did they finally find some evidence that proved me innocent? The answer is no. They are just as convinced as ever that you're guilty of the crime. You ask, did they lessen the severity of the crime to a lower charge so it doesn't carry such a heavy punishment? The answer, no. The crime still is very severe and requires death. Did my lawyers find some mistake in the trial that I can now make a new appeal? No, the judgment was done by a perfect judge. But how can I be set free and justice still be served? The answer is this, because someone took your place. You were sentenced to die for your crime, for your sins, but someone came and took your place and died for you. He took your guilt, he took your sins, he took your wrath, and there's no more you have to give. You're free to go. Justice actually requires that we set you free because the penalty of the law has been paid in full. Now, you'd think that your life outside of prison would be different than your life inside prison? Has He not set us free from the bonds of our sins? Has He not released the captives from their sinfulness? Has He not set us free by the power of His death on the cross? Should our life not be lived radically different as being those under no condemnation? There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus solely because of what Christ Jesus has done in their place on the cross. And I'm here to tell you, Paul says, you ought to joy in it and you ought to live to that privilege right now. I got people tell me, you know what they tell me? I tell you what, preacher, when I get to heaven, I'm going to run, I'm going to shout, I'm going to skip, I'm going to hop. When I get there, I'm going to get excited. Paul says, well, why don't you just go ahead and do it right now? You're under no condemnation now. Amen? Number three, the particular reality of no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to everyone? To everyone? Is everyone on earth now under no condemnation? Say no. No. Please don't be a universalist. Some of you are hedging on that. Everyone is not receiving the privilege of being under no condemnation. Who are those that are under no condemnation? Those that are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I understand, I know we want to try to throw this all-inclusive net of salvation around everyone, but the reality is that salvation is limited to those that are in Christ Jesus. Say amen. Those outside of Christ are not saved. And they are still under the condemnation and the wrath of God. Say amen. Those who are not in Christ are still under condemnation. Only those that are in Christ can enjoy the privilege of being not condemned. So it doesn't matter to me who you think limits it. It is limited to those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Only those in Christ have no condemnation. Listen to me. What Christ has done on the cross has absolutely no value to those outside of Christ. None. Well, the deliverance from condemnation is only through Jesus Christ. He that knew no sin is made sin for us, and we are made the righteousness of God in Him. There is a double exchange that is made where Christ receives our sins, He receives our wrath, He receives our punishment, and we receive His perfect righteousness accomplished by Christ alone so that we are now fit for heaven. It's a good trade! Amen? Now, Tim's a bargain trade. He trades and he does well every time he trades. He comes out. There's not a trade like this one right here. We traded sins, punishment, wrath for righteousness. That's what we got. Amen? Now, how are we put in this union in Christ? Well, we're put in this union by Christ by eternal decree. Paul said, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We are put in this union in Christ by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes and gives life from above through the new birth experience. That was explained to Nicodemus by Jesus Christ. And we are put in this union with Christ by the exercise of God-given repentance and faith by the sinner himself. In other words, it is hiding in Christ and knowing that in Him we are safe and secure from the wrath of God. He is the protection for us. In Him, God sees His work, God sees His worth, and all that He is and all that He has accomplished becomes mine because I'm in Him. Say amen. Now, here is where we make a tragic mistake. You ready? We say we're Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ, and there's no condemnation. But then, sometime this afternoon, we're going to sin. Right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we're going to revert in our mind back to the state of condemnation again. So what do? When we sin this afternoon and we think, well, now I'm condemned again, what do? We're going to try to do a little bit better. And so we're going to go to church more. We're going to read our Bibles more. We're going to sing more enthusiastically. We're going to say nice things about Jesus, have nice thoughts about Jesus. And then before long, guess what happens? We sin and we slip back into the state of condemnation. And tomorrow, guess what we'll do when we sin? We'll try to do more good things. And we'll try to love Jesus more, and perhaps we'll read an extra Bible, an extra chapter in our Bible tomorrow morning. And then once we do all those things, guess what? We feel like we're back into the state of no condemnation. You know what that is? That's a performance mentality. That's not what Paul's talking about here. The thing about the gospel is that it's hard to believe. You're telling me that I have done nothing and Christ has done it all. That's hard for me to believe. You're telling me Christ receives my pain, Christ receives my sins, Christ receives my wrath, and I receive His righteousness. That's hard to believe. It's almost too good to believe. If you are in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. Yes, I have sinned. Yes, I have fallen short of God's glory. Yes, I have come to Jesus Christ. Yes, I have put my faith and trust in Him. Yes, I continue to sin. Yes, I fall short of His glory. Yes, I did that this morning. And yet, in Christ Jesus, I'm resting in Him. I'm trusting in Him. And there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Quit trying to improve your score and rest in the no condemnation that is in Christ Jesus. That's what Christianity has become. We're trying to always improve our score. Your score, anything less than 100, is failing. Say amen. You ain't going to improve your score enough. You better rest in what Christ has done to provide for you no condemnation. And we should enjoy that. When? Today. Now. Number four. The proven reality of no condemnation. There is, that's the reality, there is. Therefore, now, that's the present reality. No condemnation, that's the pardoning reality. To them that are which are in Christ Jesus, that's the particular reality. And the proven reality is who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're not left to wonder who's in Christ Jesus, are we? It's not those who simply say they are in Christ that are not under condemnation. Those that are in Christ Jesus have a certain characteristic about them. Say amen. What is the characteristic of those that are in Christ Jesus? They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is the characteristic of every single person that is in Christ Jesus by faith. Say amen. The reality is that Christ does not only give us His life, but He also gives us His likeness. We not only have the life of Christ, now we have the likeness of Christ. Say amen. Does that mean we're going to reach perfection because Christ is perfect? Christ never sinned. Does that mean that I can reach perfection? I don't have to answer that for you. You know that's not possible. I don't think it means that. I think it does mean that those who are justified in Christ Jesus will be also sanctified in Christ Jesus. And the idea here is of a walk, right? Those who walk. Walk is not every step. Paul does not say that those in Christ Jesus, every step will be not after the flesh, but every step will be after the Spirit. He doesn't say that, does he? Now listen. One day that's going to be true. When we get our glorified bodies, every step we make for all eternity will be not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm looking forward to that. that every step we make will be a God, Christ glorifying step. That ain't happening here. It's not every step. Because if we think it's every step, then every time we sin, we're going to be discouraged. Say amen. It's not every step that we make, it's our walk. The idea of walk is that those who are in Christ Jesus have this general bent of direction, the general bent of their mind, the general bent of their life is toward holiness and not sinfulness. In other words, the majority of our affections are after the Spirit and not the flesh. But there still will be some desires, right? There still will be some desires and some actions after the flesh. We still mess up, right? We still make bad decisions, right? We're still in the flesh. But through sanctification, there is an ever-growing directive after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so the general thrust of a Christian's life is toward godliness and holiness and obedience and not after the flesh. Say amen. If you isolate individual things in our life, you can make decisions about our lostness. Right? But if you take a Christian as a whole, the general thrust of a Christian's life is toward God, toward godliness, holiness, and obedience. And along the way, there's some missteps. Along the way, there's sins. Along the way, there's failures. Say amen. But it's not our steps. It's our walk. And we prove our no condemnation by what? By this sanctifying walk. It's as the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things on earth will what? Grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Our walk proves our no condemnation. So what's Paul say? He says, as a believer in Christ, you have this tremendous privilege. I can't think of a greater privilege. To know that you're a hell-bound, condemned sinner who has been found, who has been declared not guilty, even though you are guilty, and who has been freed from the punishment of that sin because Christ took your place. And now instead of dying and going to hell, you're going to go to heaven. Is there anything better than that? Then why don't we live up to that privilege? Why is our lives not living up to that glorious privilege? There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. May God allow us to live our lives up to that privilege. I'm in Christ, and there is no condemnation on me. And I'm going to joy in it, and I'm going to celebrate it, and I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to boast about it right now. Dear Heavenly Father, would You help us this morning as we wait a moment on You. I pray those that don't know You in the full pardon of the work of Christ on the cross through faith and repentance would come, cast themselves at the feet of Christ at the cross, and be saved before it's too late. That they would feel the weight of their condemnation, they would feel the weight of their sins. And knowing that the only way to remove this burden is to come to the cross and to surrender themselves to Christ and His work. And for those of us who are saved, I pray that we would live our lives to a level and to a degree that would magnify to the world the truth that there is now in my life no condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus and am walking not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. That we enjoy this tremendous privilege of having no condemnation, not at the judgment of Christ and not now here on this earth. We have been freed from the bondage of our sin. We have been freed from the penalty of our sin. We are being freed from the power of our sins in Christ Jesus. And it is a glorious privilege to have. May we live up to it. I pray these things would be true. In Christ Jesus we pray.